Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. Do remember you can also contact us via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Well, today the Eastern Church celebrates Thursday of Holy Week. The Western Church celebrated that same day a week ago. But I want to draw our attention to this day because it is of paramount importance. On Thursday of Holy Week, we actually arrive at the epicenter of the divine narrative, a narrative that begins with the tree of life in the Garden of Eden. And no one understood that more clearly than did Saint Ephrem the Syrian. In his commentary on Genesis, and I write about this in my book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More, Ephrem depicts the paradise narrative as a paradigm of deification, as an interpretive framework for the history of redemption, as a spiritual geography for the conceptualization of deifying union with God as the goal of the Christian life. As such, paradise occupies, it operates as a liminal space. It is that part of the created cosmos that is intended to serve as a venue for divine and human communion. It is special. It's set apart in relation to the rest of creation. The Edenic Garden is imagined as a mountain like unto Mount Zion, a mountain that dwarfs all other mountains. Its paradisical peak reaches to the very habitation of God. The tree of knowledge is planted halfway up the mountain, while the tree of life is located with the Shekinah at the mountain peak. If Adam and Eve, if they had rejected the serpent, they would have eaten from the tree of life, and the tree of knowledge would not have been withheld from them. From the one, they would have gained infallible knowledge, and from the other, they would have received immortal life. Well, instead, they were exiled from the Edenic Garden. They were exiled from traversing the slope leading upward to the point of deification. Thankfully, the narrative does not end there. For on the panoply of history, a second Adam clothed himself in fallen humanity. In his temptation, in his obedience on the mountain in the wilderness, Christ rehearsed the events and he reversed the effects of Adam's temptation, of Adam's disobedience on the mountain of paradise, in the process rehabilitating human free will and reiterating the proper paradigm for its use. And it was above all in his death on the cross, in his resurrection from the dead, that Christ returned humanity to the life of Eden. The wisest man who ever lived. He rendered wisdom the fruit of the righteous and longing fulfilled the proverbial tree of life. a tree that finds ultimate root in two gardens. In the antihistorical state, the tree of life stood at the apex of the Edenic garden. In the post-historical state, the tree of life, well, it's rooted in an eternal garden, in a memorial to paradise regained. To him who overcomes, said Jesus, I will give to eat from the tree of life, the tree which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And yet there's a tree of life of which we may presently partake, a tree that stands on Golgotha's hill as the very fulcrum of all of history. For on that tree, Jesus Christ stretches one hand towards the Edenic garden and the other toward the eternal garden. The deification the first Adam could no longer reach, the second Adam touched in his place. As such, the cross of Christ is the way forward, for on it hangs the Eucharistic bounty. The assembly of saints bears resemblance to paradise, saying Ephrem, for on it each day is plucked the fruit of him who gives life to all. In it, my brethren, is trodden the cluster of grapes to be the medicine of life. Those who rightly partake of the tree of life that stands on Golgotha's hill are likewise designed to partake of the tree of life in the paradise of God. For there is rooted the tree of life bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in that city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. This then is the great arc of the biblical narrative. A narrative from the tree of life in the Edenic garden to the tree of life in the eternal garden. An arch that finds its apex with the Eucharistic bounty that spills forth from the trodden grapes of Golgotha's hill. When we come back from the break today, I want to talk about how the Last Supper, which we remember on Holy Thursday of Holy Week, constitutes the central mystery of the church. The fact that this is the source and the zenith of church life. Because by it, we're changed from many, many people to one body in Christ, the temple of the Holy Spirit. You know, this is the very thing that the Apostle Paul talks about in Romans chapter 12. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many become one body. One body, a body that uses individual gifts for the corporate extension of the kingdom of Christ. You and I have been given the privilege to be co-consummators of a kingdom that will endure forever. And do remember, as you listen in to today's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, an edition of the broadcast in which we remember Holy Thursday of Holy Week, that the Bible Answer Man broadcast is made available to people all around the world because of listeners just like you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. If you can give, it would be deeply appreciated, used for God's glory and for the extension of His kingdom. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And do remember, at equip.org, you can see so many things made available to you, including the Bible Answer Man YouTube videos, which I'm doing right now on Holy Week. So you can go to equip.org and watch the videos that commemorate the great week in human history. We'll be right back with more.
Many Americans think religious freedom is under attack. They see the culture changing around them and fear that their beliefs will soon be punished as a form of bigotry. Others think these fears are overblown and say Christians should stop complaining about imaginary persecution. In his book, Free to Believe, leading religious freedom attorney Luke Goodrich challenges both sides of this debate, offering a fresh perspective on the most controversial religious freedom conflicts today. To receive your copy of Free to Believe, The Battle Over Religious Liberty in America, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles that equip you to exercise truth and experience life. Here's what's in the current special double issue of the Christian Research Journal. Dante's Inferno can help explain hell to modern seekers. Counter to our intuitions, Dante depicts sinners as eager to enter the inferno, for hell promises to give them exactly what they want, their sin and themselves forever. Other topics include, did the universe really have a beginning? Christian apologetics in a nutshell, Christianity and the origins of hospitals and modern medicine, the indomitable human spirit of Philip K. Dick, why arguments over fetal pain capability ultimately miss the mark in the abortion debate, and much, much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Many Americans feel their religious freedom is under attack. They see the culture changing and fear their beliefs will soon be punished as a form of bigotry. Others think these fears are overblown and say Christians should stop complaining about imaginary persecution. In Free to Believe, leading religious freedom attorney Luke Goodrich combines frontline experience with faithful attention to Scripture to show why religious freedom matters, how it is threatened, and how to protect it. With penetrating insights on gay rights, abortion, Islam, and the public square, Goodrich argues that threats to religious freedom are real, but they might not be quite what you think. To receive your copy of Free to Believe, The Battle Over Religious Liberty in America, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. This broadcast is designated to the celebration of Holy Thursday of Holy Week. And as I was saying before the break, the Last Supper that we commemorate on Holy Thursday constitutes the central mystery of the church. It has transcendent importance, because it's the source, it's the zenith of church life. By it, we're changed from human multiplicity to one body in Christ, the temple of the Holy Spirit within the Eucharistic assembly. Divine life flows into us, and it penetrates the very fabric of our humanity. The future life, well, it's infused into the present life. It's blended with it so that our fallen humanity may be transformed into the glorified humanity of the new Adam, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As such, Ignatius of Antioch, and by the way, Antioch was the place where the disciples of Christ were first called Christians. Antioch, Ignatius of Antioch, he christened the Eucharist or medicine of immortality, the antidote against death, enabling us to live forever in Jesus Christ. So far from a sacred drama, far from a mere representation of past events, the medicine of immortality constitutes the very presence of God's embracing love, which purifies, which enlightens and perfects, which deifies all those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb, all who through baptism and chrismation have been incorporated into the body of Christ, who have become Christ-bearers, Spirit-bearers. And so, like the burning bush encountered by Moses, the Eucharist introduces into our very being the fire by which we are inflamed and yet not consumed. The fire by which we experience Pentecost in the present. As in the early church, likewise in the present, the Holy Spirit changes the bread and the wine into the pure body and precious blood of Christ, not physically, but mystically. In the Eucharist, we are offered Christ's deified flesh, to which we are joined without confusion or division in order to partake of divine life. That's what Peter says. We are partakers of the divine life. As St. Gregory Palamas so poignantly put it, by the Eucharist, the church is raised to heaven. That is where this bread truly dwells. And we enter into the Holy of Holies by the pure offering of the body of Christ. By it, the body of Christ partakes of the body of Christ and experiences life in the fellowship of the divine Trinity. During the Last Supper, Jesus took the bread and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body." Thereafter, he took the cup. He gave thanks. He gave it to them. And he said, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant." My blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. proto-presbyter Alexander Schmemann, and he's a man that I've gained so much from over the years. He was right in saying that two events shape the liturgy of the great and holy Thursday: the Last Supper of Christ with his disciples and the betrayal by Judas. And the meaning of both is found in one singular word, that word love. The Last Supper, it's the ultimate revelation of God's redeeming love for humankind. Conversely, the betrayal of Judas reveals that sin, death, self-destruction are also due to love, but to a deviated and distorted love. 30 pieces of silver is forever emblematic of this deviated, this distorted love. Thus concludes Schmemann, each year, as we immerse ourselves into the unfathomable light and depth of Holy Thursday, the same decisive question is addressed to each and every one of us. Do I respond to Christ's love and accept it as my life, or do I follow Judas into the darkness of his night? Far from following Judas into the darkness of the night, Ignatius of Antioch, he was one of the first of the apostolic fathers. He followed Jesus Christ from the Last Supper to his last breath, from the Eucharist to the cross. I don't know if you know the story, but it is riveting. Ignatius, and he was one in contact with the apostles themselves. He was sentenced to fight wild beasts in Rome. Why? Well, for the amusement of the mob and for the pleasure of the emperor. Ignatius pleaded with the believers of Rome not to interfere with his martyrdom, not to interfere with his death through some kind of misguided sense of love. For, said Ignatius, and this is a stunning quote, he said, "I am now beginning to be a disciple. I am voluntarily dying for God. If, that is, you," and he's talking to the believers, "if you do not interfere, I plead with you, do not do me an unseasonable kindness. Let me be fodder for the wild beasts. That is how I get to God." And then he memorably said, "I'm God's wheat. I'm being ground by the teeth of wild beasts to make a pure loaf for Christ." This passionate love for Christ moved the golden-mouthed preacher, the one we know as John Chrysostom. In fact, that's precisely what John Chrysostom means. It moved him to describe Ignatius of Antioch as a soul seething with divine eros. So often I think about the early martyrs of the Christian church, the apostolic fathers who gave their lives for the cause of Christ, who followed Christ to death. And sometimes we think this is a waste, but it's not. Polycarp, who said, 86 years have I served him, and he has never failed me. Will I now deny the Lord who saved me?" Polycarp, too, died for the cause of Christ. And in that, these martyrs call all of us to die to self, to live for Christ. This life is but a vapor, here today, gone tomorrow. Eternity will be forever. So let us set our sights not on mean earthly vanities, but on eternal verities. Holy Thursday. Well, Holy Thursday will give way tomorrow to Holy Friday. I hope you will join me for a very special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. And in the meantime, do remember that Luke Goodrich's book, Free to Believe, The Battle of Religious Liberty in America, is available for all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. Your copy available for your support on the web at equip.org. Thanks for tuning in to this special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Look forward to seeing you for Friday's edition tomorrow.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. In appreciation for your vital gift to help strengthen and expand CRI's life-changing outreaches, Hank would like to send you the book, Free to Believe, The Battle Over Religious Liberty in America by Luke Goodrich. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. You can also write to CRI, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The preceding program was pre-recorded. The Bible Answer Man is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.